Sunday, July 29th, 2012. Laytown, County Meath. The National Ecology Centre. With our trusty and rusty recording system. Ladies and gentlemen, The Sod Show Does Sonarta, Part 2. The Sod Show, it'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green, Fridays, 3pm, 103.2 Dublin City FM. The Sod Show, Dublin's garden radio show. The Sod Show, brought to you by Green Sacks, the compostable bags for home and garden. 103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show. And you can catch us at sodshow.com, our new website, at Sodshow on Twitter. And you can get a podcast of the show from Tea Time Friday from iTunes and all other good RSS readers for podcasts. Last week, you may remember on The Sod Show, we were in Sonarta and we did part one. Well, this week we return in part two. We've done the energy courtyard, the market, the walled garden, and we'd headed out on the nature trail, and we were just about to head down to see if any damage had been done by vandals to the birdwatch. And our guide, Trevor Sargent, is keeping us informed along the way. But first, a few questions with Trevor about turbines, chagas and tillage in the North County.
That's me enjoying the walk.
Yeah, it's a good rigorous push-up, some of those steps.
Yeah, yeah. A challenge
not
there.
Country,
no. In a 4x4 pram there.
Yeah.
Is the large turbine Optus yours or are you connected to it?
It is ours. It was put there as a non-working turbine, unfortunately, with the hope that we could get some help to get it going again. But it's still in that position. It came from Chagas in Kinsale, and at the time it was one of the early prototypes. There were, I think, about 12 around the country, and so the technology has moved on hugely since it was put up. The tower is still good, but it would take a new top on it.
German parts, probably.
Probably, certainly modern parts, whatever they, wherever they come from.
Has Chagas closed in Kinsale yet?
No, it hasn't.
Has it been saved from closure?
Well, I hope so, but I think Chagas authorities would like to sell it and move everything out to Ashdown Castle. I think that would be a terrible backward step, though, for horticulture and research. So maybe the recession has stepped in to change their agenda.
There's so much grown in North Fingal. We had Flavours of Fingal on, and the amount of growing that is going on that's taking up the large percentage of the national grow figures.
It's over 50% of all the vegetable and fruit in the country is grown in the North County area. Traditionally, it makes a lot of sense. It's close to the biggest central population, so you don't want to be taking your fruit and veg too far if you can help it. So there is an awful lot at stake for the country and food security to keep the likes of Chagas and Kinsale as a research station and helping farmers to grow and get into growing fruit and vegetables, because people are actually getting out of it, so it's becoming more precarious when it comes to food security. Hello.
Hello.
That is a bird hide, but it's not the ideal in my mind, because you have to approach it and announce yourself to the birds before you go in there and then tell them you're not here. And, you know, like, even birds are not going to buy that, like, you know. But it was convenient to put it there, and if you're coming down with a gang of kids, you can see, like, things like the black-headed gulls and the herons, they're not going to run off, they're not too shy, so you'll see something. But the idea of putting the bird hide in the wall garden so that you can approach it without the bird seeing you would, I think, be more successful than this example here. But it is a good bird hide. There's Peter demonstrating.
Yeah. Anybody want burger and chips?
It would be good for that, yeah.
Will you read what's on the blackboard behind you?
It says, "Hi Willie, some local idiots tore some of your photos and the posters as well. we'll try to find some more to put up, Harry.
That's unfortunately a part of the wildlife, the two-legged wildlife.
That's a different type of wildlife altogether. Yeah.
So we go on up, and this is a bit of a stairway to heaven here now. It's a few steps. I don't know if any have been to Arrath before, but anyway, the whole idea of it is that it's an old homestead where in, you know, pretty difficult circumstances around the 5th and 6th century, when you'd have people marauding and stealing and fighting and wolves and even bears and so forth, you'd be looking to protect your livestock, so you bring them inside the stockade, and a place like this gives a great lookout as well. And it's, you know, not unlike Tara and Nowth and Douth and Ewgrange. It has a kind of a magical quality to it also. So see what you feel when you get to the top.
So Arrath was a protected...
Arrath is, yeah, it's in the place names all around. Everything from Arrath Farnham to Arrath Mines. Not that you'd think it nowadays.
There's one, I think, in Westmeath called Arrath Con Arrath. It's got Arrath twice in the name.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, we go on up here. This was built as a memorial. Sean McCabe, who was a manager here for a number of years in the 90s, tragically died of cancer quite early on. So this was built as Sean's seat, just as a memory as well as a facility that other people could benefit from. So you can see the Irish Sea from where we are now. Now, we're not at the very top, but I mean, you can see the nature of the Arrath is that it looks for all the world like a circular rampart. And it's been excavated in different ways, so it may not be the way it was at the start when it was first here. But you can imagine, like, we're talking about a piece of land that had to be raised by humans, so to make it into a high point.
So if you're a mobile phone company, you're looking for the highest hill because you can reach the furthest. These guys were looking for the highest hill because they could see the couriers coming
exactly
from all directions, in fact.
Exactly, yeah. They had to have a vantage point so that they could know to take in the cattle, tell the women and children to come in from doing whatever they were doing, and lock up and prepare to defend whatever.
Except now the couriers are the phone companies.
I couldn't possibly comment on that one, Brian, now. Not that any phone companies are involved here, I might add, just in case anybody thinks. No, there's no mobile phone mast on this Arrath anyway, and I can't see any. This is a very sacred area for us here. But that's the house. You can see that with the farm manager's house now. Luke van Dorsley, who lived across the road, now lives there, so that's his house. So he works in the garden as well. He's a very... very good part of the team in Sonarta. He's generally the first up in the morning.
And in the field below, what is that? A certain type of native Irish tree, or what have we got growing down there?
In the middle of the... I couldn't be sure from this angle now.
It looks multi-rooted, like it's...
Yeah.
This one here?
Yeah.
Elder.
Elder?
Elder, yeah. That has sort of magical qualities going back over the years as well. The elder trees were not touched generally. I think they were seen as places where the spirits lived or whatever. They were kind of given a bit of credit.
Yeah, and you often see them around ring forts as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Fairies underneath.
Yeah, well.
But not a very long-lived tree though. Short lifespan, you know, compared to the other trees.
But the flowers make a nice wine, and
they do, yeah.
So do the berries. I wouldn't knock them in that sense either. Anyway, we'll you get the idea anyway of the Arrath, and there's a rowan tree and a few. There's a lot of trees around here, ash, and beech, sycamore. Sycamore grows very easily, and oak. But it's a nice spot anyway to come and think over your thoughts. We'll go on down, and there's an outdoor classroom area down there as well, which is handy when we have tours back along the river and in through the garden.
Well, what's the role developing going forward then for Sonarta, or how do you see it changing now that you're kind of at the helm of the ship, so to speak?
Well, I see enormous potential, and you can see it yourself here when we walk around. Not too many places you can go to where you can see a diversity of interests, from food growing to nature trail to the history that goes with this old rath, and the farm buildings and the history of the time when that was built, before food imports and when self-sufficiency wasn't a lifestyle choice but was a matter of reality, because there wasn't the oil there and the gas to create huge transport routes, etc. So in a way it is a fantastic demonstration model for sustainability, and that is ties in with the general need, both in terms of formal education and people with an interest in that topic. So getting the word out about it, developing the literature about it, the courses. Quite often those courses are only half full, you know, and it's basically because we don't have a well-worked publicity machine. And, you know, we could do with that. And, you know, there's nobody here full-time in terms of, there isn't the revenue to pay people to have that continuity, even in terms of administration. So we're in a kind of a transition phase to becoming more effective from where we were. And I can see the potential. The farmer's market in Balbriggan, and that you were at, and the one in Dublin, the Dublin Food Co-op in Newmarket there near St. Patrick's Cathedral on a Saturday. There's huge support when people know about us.
Yeah.
But a huge number of people at the Flavour of Fingal, for example, didn't know Sonarta was there. And they were in Dunabate, or, you know, they were in Swords, or they were in Baldoyle, and they'd never been here.
How sustainable is Sonarta? Because, pardon the cliched pun use of the word, but, like, financially, you do need money at some point in time, and I understand the ideology of having this beautiful ecosystem, and for all of the great things that Sonarta is, and I hold it quite close to my heart for my own personal beliefs, but, like, financially you need money to continue to build and upkeep, and again, double underlined, all voluntarily kind of based and operated, including yourself. I mean, what's the future going forward, or how?
Well, it has to lift its game so that it does have the revenue to pay a couple of people on a full-time basis. And that in turn then hopefully would give us the street credibility for, you know, a company that is also espousing that kind of renewable energy, sustainability a kind of line of business. To come in, for example, and take that wind turbine. And, I mean, I don't mind if a company, within reason, you know, that it's kind of has a similar ethos to what Sonarta is espousing, would say, well, that's our contribution to Sonarta. And likewise, the energy courtyard there, you know, there's a whole lot of potential in there, and there's technology out there. And I imagine there's a win-win. There would be companies trying to sell solar panels, and they would be handy for them to say, well, go on up to Sonarta and you'll see it working there, and you can go in there and take your time and look around and check it out yourself. That's the kind of a service which Sonarta would see being to everybody's benefit, and then it would make us more sustainable as well. So that's an element of it. And then the schools as well. We're developing programs for the schools again now, which would take in, if a school's going to come out to Sonarta from, whether it be Dublin or whether it be Navan or Drogheda or whatever, Dundalk or Derry or Mullingar or anywhere, they'd come here and we'd have a few other ideas for what they can do close by, that they wouldn't have to go too far, whether it be Drogheda or Laytown or somewhere close by, you know. So cooperating with other facilities in the area is a big part of it as well. But it's on the up. That's the point about it. And it's come from a low base with the recession, which hit an awful lot of voluntary as well as business people. So we're dealing with where we're cutting our cloth, I suppose. But thank God we have this facility, and, you know, it's a godsend. You wouldn't be able to create this if it wasn't here. You know what I mean? You couldn't go to a green field and say, right, I'm going to build Sonart. It's got a character to it, and it goes back over the centuries. And it has a purpose to it, which is very modern. So that's, you know, combines both. It's very much looking to the future.
If Mary McGinnity or Joe Public is sitting at home listening to this on the radio and they're saying, I wouldn't mind actually getting involved. And I think I've always said about gardener volunteers, if you've no experience whatsoever in gardening but you'd like to learn, the best thing you can do is go straight in and get your hands dirty and say, look, I know nothing, I've got two pair of hands. And they phone Sonarta, what happens next?
They'll be given a very warm welcome. If they want to come out here and take a look, if they have any time available, any time during the week, but particularly at the weekends, to be quite honest, we're always short of volunteers at the weekend when it comes to even watering, or on a Friday we could do it volunteers in terms of harvesting, or on a Thursday, and that's one side of it. The other side of it is administrative, if they're anyway handy or half handy with a computer, could help us in getting the word out to different schools and different other groups. I've got everything from active retirement groups to birdwatch groups wanting to come here. We could always do with help. To become a guide here is, as you can see, pretty straightforward. It kind of, the place speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know, you just bring somebody there, take a look at that, and it doesn't take a lot more information to make it interesting.
I remember first time being here, I came out for the hedge layers course, and I think it was a donation of £3 at the time, and I was saying to a friend of mine, oh, I'm going out to Sonarta, and he said, oh, the hippie commune. And I said, you what? And he goes, ah, he said, they're all nuts out there. He said, you know, he said they went to Woodstock and never came home. And I went, what? And that was it, and we had to go, and good luck.
They built Rainbow Warrior and took it to sea from here, didn't they?
Is there an element of that ethos about Sonarta, which is just lovely and a place where you shouldn't come and get stressed?
Well, look, people take whatever they can out of it and whatever they want. And on the one level, it is a lovely place to relax. And that's what makes working here such an enjoyable experience, to be honest. But on the other level, it is deadly serious in terms of flagging the challenges that we face in the future when we won't have the oil and gas that make life kind of handy at the moment, both for food and energy and transport and lots of other ways. So it does make sense to reflect on that matter and do something about it. And Sonarta is a way of doing something about it, because you're helping to demonstrate that you don't have to get stressed by looking at peak oil and climate change. You can actually live in harmony with nature, and that goes with technology as well as food and lots of other things, and wildlife benefits as well, because they all get a look in too. So I think it's about solutions, and I wasn't at Woodstock, but I don't know how much they did about solutions there, so I think your man might be on the wrong track.
Time of year, or maybe it's the time of man.
Before we go into the eco shop, out to the Elements courtyard, and then the main courtyard, where you get your cup of coffee or tea, you're probably parched at this stage. I just want to say, Sonarta as a word, people have asked me where it comes from, what it means, and it is a very old word. It's a word that has gone out of use. The word Niart in Irish is still used. Ni Niart go Curla Cayla would be, I suppose, the main proverb or motto of the trade union movement. There's no strength without pulling together. Well, that word Niart could be negative or positive, but Sonarta is a SO prefix, and that's a positive word, like Solus, Sonus, Surica, all these words that are positive in their meaning. So Sonarta means positive strength. And it's a word. I found the word in Paris, in the Irish College in Paris, in an old museum from the 1600s, 1700s. But it fits also as an acronym for the objectives of the centre, which is S for sustainable living, O for organic growing, N nature conservation, A appropriate technology, I intercultural exchange, R reconciliation, T trading fairly, and E, educational resource. And so when it comes to explaining what it's about, if you want to give the whole picture, that's the whole picture, at least enough to be going on with. So the word Sonarta, it's known as the National Ecology Centre. It's the oldest ecology centre. Places like Ross Inver, the Organic Centre, and our Seed Savers in Clare, we work closely with, and they've come along the way in the years in the meantime. So there's now a network of ecology centres, you could say, around the country, espousing sustainability and how to live without being oil dependent, which is something we're all going to have to do sooner or later. Some voluntarily, some have to be dragged kicking and screaming. But one way or the other, the oil is not going to be there. and the climate change is going to make it impossible to use it anyway. This is about being sustainable anyway. So you're very welcome to make your way to the cafe, and sure, we'll have a chat there when we go along.
Our guide for the garden group, Trevor Sargent. Our thanks to Trevor and all the volunteers at Sonarta, the National Ecology Centre in Laytown. What a wonderful day that was. And if you ever see on the blog us talking about the garden group, get your name down and go along, because they're absolutely wonderful days and they're free. They don't come up that often. Maybe they should happen more often during the expected nice weather during the spring and summer months. But a wonderful day. I picked up a book that Trevor mentioned at the very start of the tour. He said he had some books there in the courtyard. They just, you give a donation and whatever you want to give, drop it into the box, and it's recycling, free cycling kind of stuff. I got a book about planned obsolescence. Absolutely amazing. I knew a bit about it, but I didn't know how far back it went and how deeply ingrained it was into the production system. Very interesting. And if you can get yourself along to Sonarta, do check out the facilities. I'd recommend that you get a guided tour around as well. Wonderful. It's 103.2. It's Dublin City FM. Our such show song of the week was Matthew Southern Comfort and Woodstock. It just fitted in there nicely. Want to get us on the web? The new website, sodshow.com. Twitter at Sodshow for conversation throughout the week. Sodshow thanks to Peter Donegan, who puts the whole garden group together, to Trevor Sargent for being our guide, and all the volunteers at Sonarta, the garden group people who come along and help out, to Dublin City FM, to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. And for you for listening, get you next week at 3 p.m. Until then, bye bye. I bet you wondered how I knew about your plans to make me blue. Honey, honey, I heard through the grapevine, how much longer would you be my baby?